Well, as we continue together this morning, I want to let you know, if you're visiting with us today, and you found out that we were doing service at 10 o'clock, that's pretty impressive. And if you can do that, man, you are our kind of people. If you're newer here to New Hope, or if you if you're like, why don't they ever contact me when stuff is happening? It may be because we don't have your name in the system, that we don't have your contact information. A few weeks ago, and I'm not going to embarrass you because nobody knows who you are, including me, but a few weeks ago, I got a text from somebody that was talking to me about the membership process, and they're like, hey, I've watched the videos. What do I need to do next? And I didn't have your number in my phone, so I was like, well, I don't know who this is. And I sent that embarrassing text, that, you know, and then I never got a reply back, and I'm still waiting. It's okay. I'm just saying, like, this information goes into our church database system, which doesn't automatically go into my cell phone, because that would be creepy. If you want to reply and let me know who you are, I will definitely follow up with you right away as quickly as I can. And also, if you would like to get information from our church, and now that you know, hey, this isn't just going to the guy up there with the microphone, scan this QR code, or you can fill this card out, drop it in the giving boxes by the back door on your way out. And then usually if you're new, I just shoot you a quick email, say thanks for coming, give you a little bit of information, and then kind of leave the ball in your court. We're not a big chase you down, knock on your door, show up unexpected kind of church. So, and then these little white cards that are in the seat back in front of you, if you are a member here or a regular attender, if this is your church home, we just want to say thank you for the way that you have supported the ministry of this church. We continue to ask you to pray about how God would have you give. We hope that for all of us that we're looking for opportunities to give out of our finances and our gifting, whatever resources we have. But that doesn't all have to come to the local church. Many of you give to organizations around the area. They're doing good things. Some of you, you help out friends and neighbors. Whatever God puts on your heart, we just know that if you give to Him sacrificially, joyfully, and trust for His work to be done, that we're going to be just fine. And we trust in God for that. So if you do want to give to the work of New Hope, you can use these little envelopes here, or you can use the QR code that I think is up there on the screen behind me. It's a real one. It does work. It will take you to our giving. It's different than this QR code. We try to have about 500 different QR codes floating around because we want to keep everybody on their toes. All right. We have been in the midst of a series on the first seven chapters of the book of Acts called Martus. And the word Martus, obviously, in the Greek means witness. Yeah. Somebody said something that wasn't witness, and I don't know what it was, but it means witness. It's also where the word martyr comes from. And it looks like it says maptus, but that's Greek. And we use the Greek mostly because I thought it looked really cool. But the word is martus. And what it is about being witnesses. We are witnesses of Christ. And really, that's what this morning is all about, because that's what church is supposed to be all about. We are called in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, Jesus said to his disciples that they would be his witnesses to all the world. And that calling continues to us today. And we are supposed to be witnesses, first of all, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community, in our neighborhood, and then to the ends of the earth. And however God moves you in that process, we want to be a part of that. But we want to be a part of that together as a church. And so as we've been looking at the first seven chapters of Acts, we've been thinking about, what does this mean for us as a church? How do we be church? Because the church is not the building. The church is the people. And the people are supposed to resemble Jesus. And when the world looks at us, they're supposed to see, wow, there is a God that loves me, and his people are proving this. And so that's really what we want to be about. And so to that end, I'm not going to preach a message this morning because we have a lot of other stuff happening, but I want to show you a quick video. This was supposed to be the end piece of this whole series, and somehow I got off by a week. But that's okay. We're going to show this to you, and then we'll finish it up next week with the chapter 7. So this is sort of like the whole, this, just like we're doing the year in review, this is Acts 1 through 7 in review in 1 5-minute video. This is a great video by the Bible Project, so why don't you guys go ahead and watch this together.
One of the earliest accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, death, and resurrection, was written by a man named Luke.
We know it as the Gospel of Luke, but Luke continued the story in a second volume,
called the Book of Acts, and it's all about what Jesus continued to do after his resurrection.
Acts begins with the disciples who are hanging out with Jesus, who's just come back to life, which is mind-blowing to imagine.
And then for weeks, the risen Jesus kept teaching them about his upside-down kingdom, the new creation that he launched through his death and resurrection.
This is exciting stuff, and the disciples are ready to go tell the world.
But then Jesus tells them to wait, and to stay in Jerusalem until they receive a new kind of power so they can be faithful witnesses to Jesus and his kingdom. Then he says that their mission is going to begin in Jerusalem, then move out to Judea and Samaria, and then from there out into the nations. It's like a roadmap for the whole book of Acts. Then the disciples saw Jesus enthroned as king of all creation.
So the disciples wait, wondering when this power is going to come. And then comes the time of Pentecost.
So this is an ancient Israelite festival. It's during the early summer, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims would come back to Jerusalem from all over the world, all these different languages and cultures colliding in the city.
And the disciples are together in a house, which is suddenly filled with rushing wind along with fire. Fire splinters off into tongues of fire hovering over people's heads. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Luke is tapping into a repeated Old Testament theme. When God's presence showed up similarly at Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments. Then later, when God's glory came in a pillar of fire, it filled the tabernacle when he came to live among them.
That was just one pillar of fire, not many.
Exactly. Luke's making an important point here. This is God's personal temple presence, God's spirit that was foretold by Israel's prophets. And now it's come to take up residence in the new temple of Jesus' body, that is, his people. They've become little mobile temples where God now dwells.
And they start to tell stories about Jesus, but they're speaking in languages that they didn't know before, yet all the visitors can understand them. What's this all about?
Well, Peter gets up to explain that this is the fulfillment of Israel's hopes based on the scriptures. God's plan was always to use the unified family of Abraham to bring peace and justice to the world. But the tribes of Israel had been scattered because of the exile. Now, here at Pentecost, representatives from all of the tribes come back together and they're introduced to their Messiah, the crucified and risen Jesus, so they can now become the restored people of Israel.
And thousands of them start following the way of Jesus.
Which brings us to Luke's tale of two temples. So you've got the temple that Herod built in Jerusalem, where Jesus' disciples worship like the rest of the Israelites. But now there's also Jesus' temple, which consists of people. This temple's meeting together in homes all over Jerusalem, and they were approaching life in a radical new way.
Right, think about it. Many of these pilgrims aren't even from Jerusalem, so they formed these new families, and they're all depending on each other.
Yeah, people would sell their stuff, provide for the poor among them. They ate their meals together. They said their daily prayers together.
They were learning from the apostles what it meant to live as if Jesus is the true king of the world. And it must have been exhilarating.
But it wasn't all fun and games. Being God's temple is serious business, just like in the Old Testament. So you might know about that strange story in the book of Leviticus about two priests who disrespect God in the temple and then suddenly die. Well, Luke includes here a similar story of two disciples who dishonor God's spirit in this new temple, and they suffer a similar fate.
So there's corruption in the community. But the bigger problem is coming from the outside.
Yeah, from the other temple. Its leaders are threatened by this new messianic movement, and so they arrest the apostles, they try to stop them. And this brings us to the final story in the Jerusalem section of Acts. We're introduced to a new disciple, Stephen.
Oh yeah, Stephen. He's on fire. He steps up as a leader among the disciples to serve the poor, and he would go to the temple courts to teach people about the way of Jesus.
So the temple leaders arrest Stephen, and they find false witnesses to accuse him of dishonoring Moses and of being a terrorist who's threatening the temple.
In response, Stephen gives this powerful speech about how predictable this whole situation was.
Yeah, he retells the whole Old Testament story, highlighting characters like Joseph, Moses, and the prophets, people who are consistently rejected and persecuted by their own people. Israel's been resisting God's representatives for centuries, and so their rejection of Jesus and now of his followers is a rejection of God himself.
They get angry, and they start to execute him by picking up rocks and smashing him to death.
And as he's dying, he commits himself to the way of Jesus, to suffer because of the sins of others. He even cries out, "Lord, don't hold the sin against them."
This is basically what Jesus said at his death.
Exactly. Stephen becomes the first martyr of the Jesus movement, with many more to come. But this persecution contains seeds of hope. which is why Luke introduces us to a new character here, a religious leader named Saul. He stands over Stephen's dead body and even approves of the whole thing.
Wait, Saul, you mean the man who becomes the apostle Paul?
Yes, Luke is showing how even this tragic murder can't stop Jesus' kingdom. And so many persecuted disciples scatter out of Jerusalem, and just as Jesus said, they head into Judea and Samaria. Now, the story of what happens there, that's what the next section of Acts is all about.
I don't get a second chance at this today, so sorry I keep walking up here late. It's a good video, wasn't it? Yeah, I've watched it about three or four times this week even, and I just think it's a really good encapsulation of those first seven chapters. And hopefully, as you've been here over the last six, 7 weeks, you recognize some of those themes, same things that we talked about. Maybe they talk about them a little bit differently, but you see how these things are fitting together as the church, as the people of God who are trying to build the kingdom of God. So I want to tell you a little bit about how that's happening in the life of New Hope Church. I'm not just going to tell you this myself. And then we've got a special just little video that kind of brings back some, that just kind of highlights some of the things that have been most meaningful here this year. And so I'm going to ask Sonali Titu and Ashley Houghton if they'll come up here and they're going to share with you a little bit about what's been happening with our children's ministries, which if you know me, you know that I just really believe that we have no higher privilege and responsibility as a church than to train up our children to follow Christ and to be his representatives. You guys can come right up here. Don't be shy. And because they're not just a part of the church, they are the church just like we're the church. And we want to be faithful in that effort. So I'm so grateful to all the volunteers that we have that work with our kids on Sunday morning from the nursery and the youngest up on through the middle school kids. And so I'm going to let these guys share a little bit.
Hi there. My name is Sana Lee, and this is Ashley. And I head up the K through 2 class, and Ashley does the 3 through 5. We have a set of teachers, and you did get an email with the report in it, so I'm not going to read it word for word, but we're just going to give you a little highlights of what's been going on in our rooms. First of all, I will let you know that we're pretty tight back there. we've got a lot of kids. I went into Ashley's class, and literally she has just chairs lined up all around the wall, and then even some kids sitting in the middle, so it's a little hard when it comes to any kind of games or anything like that. But yeah, we've got a lot of smiling faces. If you look around, they're here with you right now. So say hi to them. So we started out our year using the Gospel Project curriculum, which would get us through the Bible chronologically in 3 years. And they started charging a little bit more. So we kind of switched gears, and we're now using something called Teach Us the Bible, and it's online as well. And Ashley's going to describe a little bit about what's on that with what we have available to us. But it really, it's so much cheaper, and it's doing the same job. So we were really happy to find that. We did take the summer off, as you did, and did some movie watching and some popcorn eating. And after that is whenever we implemented the new Teach Us the Bible curriculum. And so we had finished the Old Testament, and then we went into movies, and now we're on to the New Testament. So, and once again, I'm not going to go through all of the numbers and everything, but I do want to say a special thanks to our teachers and our helpers. We have Art Steer, Cassidy Wilkin, who just started, and Abigail Bolt, who had been teaching in our class, and now she's moved into the preschool room. So we still have room for one more if you'd like to teach. And our helpers, Lee Titu, Aaron Bolt, who's also moved on. And then Aaron Abbott is newly onboarded. And then I'll let Ashley talk to you about her class a little bit.
So while Sana Lee's class, because they're younger, she teaches them pretty much the fundamentals of the Bible. In the older class, we try to focus on teaching them prayer and why that's important, making sure that they're praying specifically. And also, we are trying to teach them, we're trying to increase their Bible knowledge, so like where to find Bible verses. And they're doing a great job at that, coming together. Even with all of the new kids, I'm amazed at starting here with 3-4 kids to anywhere up to 15, which is amazing. And like seeing them welcome each other in and like just embrace each other and encourage each other and walk through their walk, it's amazing to see them. And it's just great to be a part of their life. So thank you for bringing them and encouraging them to read the word and to come to church and be involved in that. For our class, I'm so thankful for Lori. I don't think that she's here, but she teaches when I do not. And for the older kids that are in Pastor Darren's class, a lot of them come alongside us and help us in our classes, which is really nice. I have my daughter Shelby who helps me, and Rachel who has come in as well. So thank you, girls, for helping us in there. But as for our curriculum, Teach Us the Bible is not only available to us as teachers, we can sign in, but it's also free to you guys. So there's so many resources, there's so many different activities that they can do. So as a parent, please feel free to type in teachusthebible.com and go on and ask your kid what they are learning in class and just click on some of the links, and because there's so many things and we can't possibly cover them in just the time that we have them.
And we have a parent page also.
Yes.
That we put out that it's in the back. Please take one. And it covers everything that we...
Sorry, I'm not using the microphone. The parent page is back there. Please take one with you. It covers each of the lessons, and it gives at-home activities, and it does have a link to Teach Us the Bible. Okay, I think we're done. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, ladies. We're not only thankful for them, but for their whole team as they thank their volunteers and parents. If you're not a parent, we share this responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses made it very clear that with the people of Israel, that this was a shared process, training up the next generation. But parents, you have the greatest responsibility in that. We believe very strongly that parents should be the chief spiritual influencer in the life of their kid. That means that it's your job to train up your sons and daughters to know Jesus. And you can't do anything to make them love and follow Jesus, but you can create the best opportunity for that to happen in your homes. And all we are is we're available for an hour and a half on Sunday mornings, but we are really trying to be a resource for you. Our philosophy here is we say three words: encourage, equip, and engage. And we want to encourage parents to really live out that task that they've been given by God, to be the chief spiritual formation officer in the lives of their kids. And we want to equip them with the tools to do that. And like Ashley was just talking about, and like Sana was talking about with the parents page that we make each week. Some of you are parents, you don't even know. We've put this online for the last year, and we've made these available each month. And then we want to engage with you, which is what we do on Sunday morning. But ultimately, just bringing kids to New Hope for an hour and a half every Sunday is not really going to get the job done. We want to come alongside with you, parents. We believe that you are the champions in this, and we are just another voice backing up what you're saying. So we just want to continue to encourage you that. If you have questions for us on that, let us know. And our kids stuff starts with the youngest age. From the moment that you're comfortable handing off your child, your son or daughter, to the hands of our nursery workers, everybody there is loving, caring, they're background checked, they're safe, and they are here just to give you an opportunity to come in here to worship together and to love on your kids. And then with the toddlers and the preschool ministry, in our nurseries, it's all just about giving care to the kids. And then we start with the preschool. We actually just are taking steps at age-appropriate ways all the way along the way to teach kids who Jesus is, what it means to follow him, what it means to be loved by God, and that we can love him as well. And then we move out of the elementary, and we kind of move along to our students, our teenagers, middle school and high school students. And I'm going to ask Pastor Darren if he'd come up and share a little bit with you about what's been going on in the lives of our middle school or high school. And then he's also going to share a little bit about kind of our guest services ministries and the things that happen out here on Sunday morning. So thanks, Darren.
All right. I'm the guy that always has his hand up in the air like this. So if you haven't seen it, all these kids know how to pound my hand pretty good. So we try to have fun, and he's giving credit for hurting my hand a few times here. It's a treat working with these students and seeing them moving up their ranks. And I love to see the formation that you see at the lower levels and start to learn prayer and learn how to read the Bible. And my role, I've been working hard with our students to say, okay, your parents have done a great job. They're leaning into you. But now we want to provide a safe environment that's both fun but engaging and allowing the students to start to really work out their faith and really be able to speak their faith and feel comfortable doing that, raising up students who are willing to be able to go out into their schools and be a missionary to wherever they go. So the focus that we've been doing a lot with our students is really helping them be confident, and it's okay to have beliefs. It's okay to stand for Jesus, and you're going to be facing all kinds of unique challenges in their schools and where they go every day. And we take some of those topics and we bring the gospel to those topics and allow them to do it. So we really believe in having a really safe environment, fun environment, a welcoming environment. We know everybody, all the students are at different levels, but to be able to meet them where they're at, it's huge. I want to take my time too, also to recognize Amanda Gaiman. Where is she? Is she in the house still? I know she doesn't like all this, but this one, she for the past few years has been dedicated every week and everything, and really investing in her students. So please give it up for Amanda, please. I want to make a special thank you. She just loves being in the spotlight this way. I'm sure she does, but I needed to do that because she's been a right-hand person and really helping in so many ways and being supportive. So thank you for that. Also, I want to thank Zach and Reese with their involvement they're doing with our teenagers. Do they come out for anything? They're like, okay, what can we do? Whether it's food, fun games, or just the interaction. So I'm really thankful for the work that they've been doing. And then to what is the atmosphere going to be out there? When people come in, we're focusing on hospitality, feeling welcome. This is a place where you should come, gather, talk, have a good time, be able to relate with each other. So the focus that I've had out here and really working with some of our team leaders, like Heather Darby, who's in a cafe. We got Kristen Glicker, my wife up front. She's working with our greeters. And then Mike Janice, is he in here too? He's the one hooking you guys up with the bread every week. He works with the team and does that. He's got some great people on his team bringing food every week. But the goal with all of them is to provide an atmosphere. You're welcome. We want you to come in here. There's a place where we're going to love on you. We're going to serve you. And we're going to do whatever it takes. So thank you for allowing me to step in a role in those places with your students and helping us come alongside you. So thank you.
And as Darren kind of alluded to, we talk about up in and out here at the church. And if you've been here for a while, you've heard us talk about it. Maybe you're familiar with what that means. But it's really just the three ways that Jesus showed us how to love God. Up is worship. It's loving God completely with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But that's kind of a hard thing to do because we don't think of love as something that you can show to a God that you don't really see all the time and that you don't touch or hear. And so it's like, well, how do we love God? And then we see that we love God by loving one another. We love because he first loved us. And we want to love the world. But just as you saw in that Acts video, it starts here and it kind of moves out. And so the up leads to the end where we learn to love one another. We learn to encourage one another, edify one another. And then we move outward from there to blessing our world. And I want to talk to you, I want to have some share with you a little bit about what has been going on here in the area. And part of that is with connect groups. We used to call them life groups. I get confused. I call them both. But we have a number of connect groups that are meeting each month, and they're out on the board there. You can see them, and those are folks from this church that get together. They want to get connected. They want to get to know each other. They want to begin to know how they can serve one another by praying for each other, helping meet the needs in each other's lives, and then learning more about each other's circles and who you're trying to have an influence on and how we can be praying for them and how we can be helping them and just moving outward that way. And so we got connect groups, and then we've also got growth groups, But those are, some of those are for guys, some of those are for women, some of those are for couples, some of those are open to just about anybody. They're all a little bit different. We have one for the young adults that is very exclusive. They don't want any of us old people in there. But that's been going great, and I think that's neat. And then the guys started doing some stuff again this year, finally. They had a couple of different events, and Dave Gray and Matt Houghton have told me that they're going to have more stuff happening this year, so we're excited about that. But there's been one ministry area here that's really kind of taken the lead and really been the most encouraging for me and kind of the most challenging to say, man, everybody's got to catch this vision. It's been the women. And unfortunately, guys, I would have to say that as you look at the Christian church in the West, women have really stepped in where there's been a gap because men haven't really led. And so the women have been leading the church in many ways. And I wouldn't say that the women are leading New Hope Church, but they're definitely setting an example for us. So I'm going to ask Debbie Grimshaw if she'd come up and share a little bit about the women's ministry here and some of the neat things that they've had going on. And if you're a lady and you're new here and you're wondering, how do I get connected, maybe she'll let you know.
Thank you. Well, welcome, everybody. Yeah, I'm happy to share about the women here because women really are, we connect through stories. And I think that's the thing that really resonates with me is we have different seasons of life. And together, we are a family. And we don't necessarily have the same stories, but we have the same feelings and we have experiences. So the ways that we have connected this past year and the ways we're going forward is that two of the main ways are we do a women's retreat where we go away for a few days, and we're doing it again April 19th. And so if you want to mark your calendars now, we're doing it at Camp of the Woods in Speculator, New York. I think I said that right. But it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and we get a good speaker, and they even have a pool there, so if you like swimming. So that's one way we go away. And then the second way, major way that we do it is in the fall, which we just did in September. We have a women's dinner. We do games. We do like icebreaker games, eat lots of good food and have dessert. We have a speaker, and then we also have music. So we have time to share our stories and share our lives together. And that is really the connect part, I think, that we do well. Women like to talk, and so it's if you don't know people, we have opportunities. So I will encourage you. The other way is in your bulletin, and this is, I think, the key way that we stay connected, and we help each other through the tough seasons because we are connecting. Once a month we have, it's right in here, we have one coming up December 2nd, we have a women's breakfast, and it's very low-key, come as you are, we all bring a little something to share. We eat, we have a little devotional time, and then we do break down into smaller groups and chit-chat, and we get to know each other and pray for each other, and I think that really is the key, is just spending time getting to know you. And we have a core group of women that have gotten to know each other, and we are, if you're new or if you're looking to connect, and I mean, we want women, girls, how about females of all ages, we want to connect with all of you and keep you connected. So happy to hear your story. Okay, Pastor Matt, I don't know where you disappeared to, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, there's a whole lot of things, and we're gonna just share with you a little video right now that just kind of gives you just a few of the highlights from this last year in picture, a little bit of video, but it doesn't include everything. And if you're like, I wasn't in there, you are important. We do love you. I went with the material that I had available to me, but I just hope that if you've been here on Sunday mornings, but you really haven't gotten plugged in beyond that, you'll just consider taking that next step this year of getting connected, getting to know other people so that you can grow in not only in hearing the teaching of the word, but in encouraging one another and being edified by one another, building relationships so you get to care for each other, pray for each other. This is really what we're supposed to do. I just want to tell you a quick story. We had a young guy here that a few weeks back that sent me an email, and he just paid a high praise for you folks here. He just, man, I just feel like everybody's very kind when I come in here. Everybody's very nice to me. People are very loving, and I feel like your church is different than the churches I've been in the sense that you guys are trying to love each other and you're trying to learn how the church actually becomes the church. And so that's encouraging to me. When I got that text message, I was like, well, then I start to worry. I'm like, well, what if he doesn't, nobody talks to him next week, or what if he doesn't get connected with anybody? And I start thinking about those kind of things. So earlier this week I was praying and God put him on my heart. And this, I tell you the story because this kind of thing doesn't happen to me all the time, but I thought this was so cool. And I just reached out to him. I sent him a quick text message and said, I just wanted to know, I was thinking about you this morning, I was praying and you came to my mind. And so I just hope you and your family are doing well. And he actually told me some stuff that was going on in their family situation that's been really hard. He wasn't telling anybody about it, but he'd been praying for it and trusting God would provide a way. And because of your generosity, we have a thing that's called our benevolence account, which is really just another word for charity, the Christian charity that begins in the idea of fellowship. It starts with our family and it moves out from there. And I was able to say, well, I think that we can help you out with some of that stuff. And we are able to do that. And so that's praise to God for that, because that's just the way that he uses us in each other's lives. And in part, you... Did I turn this off again? Oh. You guys have blessed someone without even knowing it. And I just think that's so cool. So I wanted you to know a little bit about that. So we're going to watch this quick video, and then we're going to have the team come up right after the video, and we're going to sing in celebration and to close our service. And then we're going to take about a 15-minute break. And if you are a membership partner and you're here, we'd ask you to stick around for the remainder of our annual meeting, which is our budget discussion and the election of our two elected leaders for this year that will join our leadership board. And if you're not a member, but you're here regularly and you'd like to see how that works, you're welcome to stick around and watch those proceedings. You can't speak into them, but you can definitely come and observe and see how that works. You can ask questions of the person sitting next to you and all that kind of fun stuff. So we'll do that afterwards. And I did want to say this, because I just didn't get enough words in today. As I was standing in the back earlier as we were singing, I went a couple weeks ago. I was down at a conference, a ministry conference. It was a building filled with pastors and church leaders. I think there's about 15,000 people in the main building as the band was singing. And one of the things that I noticed was I was kind of excited about getting back into that environment with a big band and loud music. But as we were singing, I stopped singing for a moment. I was like, I can't hear anybody but the people on the stage. I can't even hear myself when I'm singing. And one of the things I realized I really love about New Hope is the fact that you guys sing. And it's really, just stop some time and listen and to hear other people praising God. And to hear people singing songs that, like I always say, these songs are about alignment. I'm not always in line with the words on the screen. My heart isn't always submitted to God and poured out to him the way I want it to be. But as I sing these songs, I'm able to be reminded that this is where I want to be. And so, God, would you fill me with your spirit to help me to even follow you? And it's so encouraging to hear one another. So I just want to encourage you guys to that. Thank you guys for that. And then we're going to go ahead and now we'll go ahead and watch that video.
I can think of so many more pictures and memories of the year in review. So would you guys stand and join us, and let's sing this out to God. Yeah, I guess at this time we are going to take a quick break for those who are going to stay and remain with us. But if not, you guys go. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And we'll see you next week.